And this is episode 100. Let's go. We made it. So number one, we're picking up a discussion we had before a few weeks ago. And this was related to content authenticity, which is Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. Big companies, we were kind of railing about this because they've been working on this for decades with reasons that might not be awesome. But now we have something concrete that we can look at that is using it. So let's look at it. The Leica M11P comes with content verification in the photo. So this is a Leica camera, which is a mass market brand, Leica. And you take the photo and it is digitally signed inside the photo. In the metadata of the photo, I guess in the raw file, but also in the JPEG, it fits in there. So there's metadata in these files and it goes in there. Now, this is a niche product. So it's $9,000 for the camera. I worked with some luxury brands for watches specifically. We got NFTs into the watches, the watch sale workflow. And they started with one brand. Then they went to Breitling, which is a pretty large brand. And guess what? They own a lot of other brands or maisons of watches. And that's just how you do it. That's, you have to pick one and go. So starting with this $9,000 camera, putting this extra firmware update, I think it might actually also be a chip. Putting an extra chip in there is a whole thing. Whichever camera comes out next, you know, you put it in there. It's kind of like Apple products, right? The M3 chip comes out. Well, why do they put the M3 in this one, but not that one? It's just engineering cycles, baby. So don't read too much into which camera they're doing, or is it a niche camera, or is it a $9,000 camera? Just look into this fact. We have a camera now that digitally signs photos. So what do you think about it? And the lines are open. You just dial in 1-800 Community Service Hour, and we're taking your calls all day long.
No, I think this is super cool and starting to tackle some of the challenges that everyone's like, where did this thing actually come from before someone minted it? And I think this is definitely helping on that. And yeah, most photos are worked on afterwards, but I think that's an easy problem to solve once, or that's an easier problem to solve than the original trust of where the thing came from or who captured it, because we can trace the chain all the way back from the beginning. And this is partly or very close to what I'm working on with my project as well. Where
that's cool. And me personally, I'm also a photographer, and I used to shoot using a fancy camera and then using JPEG. And people were laughing at me. Why are you using JPEG? You know, you should use RAW.
I think, you know, next step is this being built into any device that captures, and the dystopian side of this is that, yeah, they need KYC on who captures what and distributes it further. So I guess that's the side of it as well.
Yuga Labs and Magic Eden want to make royalties mandatory. But basically what they want to do is they want to have NFTs. They really want to use the smart contract of the person that is minting the NFTs to enforce royalties. My opinion is when you start forcing people to pay, that's because you couldn't figure out something else to do. Usually the way products work is, you know, you've got this great software like Photoshop, and then they couldn't really figure out how to make it better. So then they're like, well, we'll just charge monthly. So we don't have to make it better, right? We'll just get them on the back end. So obviously this business model also applies to Yuga Labs. We made a bunch of pictures of animals. How do we justify having all of our employees when we don't have anything else to do? The answer is you just charge monthly. Now that's a very cynical way to talk about artists. Artists have opinions too, and I would love to hear from them.
I mean, I understand, depending on the art and the artist, like everything has a cost. Everything has a cost of creation. And so the cost of creation is something that should be taken into consideration. Should someone get paid to be into perpetuity? That may be something you want to discuss. But the idea that a person shouldn't be making royalties, that means that like, it's just like, it's almost to say that entertainment has no value. And then at that point, then it's just like, why do anything? The point is that everything we do is incentivized. Like you're not doing, what you're doing right now, you're doing it because you have some kind of goal in mind. That goal, whatever it is an incentive, is an incentivization for your work, for your efforts. All right. So if people are going out there, they're creating music, creating art, creating all this stuff. You know, that takes time, that takes energy. Okay, they sell it and they sell it on the front end. That's one thing. But then now you're telling me that someone else can go and sell the art that I created again and again and again and again and again and make money over time. That why shouldn't there be a share of value? You know what I'm saying? Why shouldn't that value be shared over in perpetuity to create some kind of like ecosystem of the artwork and make it like, you know, have more energy as far as money goes and monetization?
Then my answer is because you sold it. If you wanted to do that, that should be licensed.
So then, but why can't they license it though?
If you're going to make a new thing and start it as a license, that's great. And I do support that. What I don't support is you sold a thing and then change the agreement like Darth Vader and say, oh, remember that thing I sold you? Well, it's actually mine and I want you to pay me again.
Which means you'll have to pay again.
And I understand it really is a matter of transparency and really understanding what it is, what the relationship that a person is getting into when they at the point of purchase and point of sale. These people have no revenue stream. They have no business model. And so now how are they going to pay their community manager to sit and gas a bunch of people up for the next 6 months to make whatever, you know, how they're going to do that? They obviously need some kind of influx of cash. And so, yes, the enforcement of royalties on that level, you called it. You called it spot on. You know, and like, I think that there needs to be a real separation of that, like, and a real, like, understanding, too. Like, if you're minting NFTs as a founder of a community, of a something that says you're going to do something, there should be a much more stringent process for you to get onto a marketplace as opposed to the artist or whatever that's just making their art and they're not a company, they're not a corporation, they're not whatever. And that's the relationship that they're trying to put forward. When you have these people, though, that are making whole companies drawing millions of dollars potentially to an idea that they don't execute on in any way, shape, or form, and then they don't have any kind of revenue or model outside of the initial sale of NFTs. And then you got, you know, this fucking marketplace being like, oh, you got to give them their 10%. When you get the fuck out of here. That's that is insane.
All right, let me drop 2 points here. So if you own a Bored Ape, that's a sucker move to put that necklace on. So obviously don't do that. Don't strap a time bomb onto your Bored Ape. You can't take it off. That's point one. One of the reasons that they sell these things at low price anyway, and they expect to make money on the back end. Expect, but didn't agree to with the people that they're selling to, right? One of the reasons is to collect cash.
A lack of liability, a lack of any sheer liability whatsoever towards any of the... So basically, if you receive funds from the royalties on that behalf, you didn't sell anything. And so basically, you're now receiving free money.
Yeah. And also, did you collect sales tax when you sold that?
No.
That's a thing. Right. So if you're not collecting sales tax, watch yourself. There's a lot of taxes when you sell things. There's a lot less taxes when you get royalties on the back end. We talked about this on episode 37. Just wanted to bring this up as well. There's a tweet from Beeple. Beeple says, I think the creator royalty argument is actually a lot simpler. The creators will have to build a collector base that want to honor these royalties. There you go.
I think Beeple is literally high on his own whatever, bro. I guarantee if you give anyone a choice to do that or not, they go, oh, you know, we just got to make sure Beeple gets his... what? No one's doing that. Literally no one's doing that. That's not going to happen. They always fall off at the idea of circular value. Sure, if there's royalties, fine. Break it down, though.
We got free tickets, free shows, free this.
Free tickets.
You come we do a gallery show or something like that, and you guys are in, believe in us, something like that. But no, none of that ever. It always hits a wall at my pocket. And that's why all this is garbage.
If you're providing the kind of value that creates an emotional resonance where I feel as though I am now so part of this that I want to push it forward or whatever, when someone does something good for you, push it forward or whatever, then that's a whole different thing, you know what I'm saying? But that's exactly. And so if he means that, then 100%. Create experiences that make people feel as though they're so part of it that they want to push it forward.
You know, I was watching an interview from Roger from Pink Floyd. It's music plus activism, art plus something. I've seen a lot of people, again, Bored Ape, I don't think people are buying pictures. I think people are using these things in very creative ways. Bored Ape plus business. People are getting mileage out of this stuff. When I get money, I set aside my 10% or whatever to just give back wherever.
Money comes in and the money goes out.
That is the circular economy. You got to make people feel good about this. And there's definitely people that don't do that.
I don't think it works for the individuals also.
Which individual?
I mean, regular individual in Web3 then. I mean, maybe if as committee it might work because you put also calls to there to aiming, I don't know, building something or doing something, whatever. It might be art activism, whatever. But when you see from the individual point, I don't think it works in that way. I don't think people see and understand that value in that people.
You're saying people that buy the NFTs?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be honest. A lot of people that buy NFTs aren't into flip it. They think about it as something that they don't want to hold. They think about it that they want to buy and sell, and they don't really care. That's true for a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people that just don't care about anything. Is that a high five? Vector, that's a high five?
It's a high five. I totally agree in some ways, but I think there's a space for just about everyone in this space, at whatever participation level they want. You need DJs. It's fine to have flippers.
Yeah.
Because flippers come in, they give you that initial hype, they give you that initial energy, they give you that initial liquidity, they give you your initial funding. And then from there, they want to flip it, which is fine too, because if you're getting royalties, then you're also getting money and you're getting value. So they're providing the value. It's the value of what value is the project providing afterwards that maybe one keeps. I have over 100 freaking NFTs in my wallet. I'm not using any of them for anything. Not access to anything except for maybe a community and a Discord or whatever. But other than the utility is flipping at this point, people have to pay bills, all this other kind of stuff. At the back end though, Bored Apes is so popular and it's so valuable that just owning that NFT puts you, whether or not you could be a flipper or whatever, but just owning that NFT puts you in a position where you can now start making networks happen. That's not the same thing for every NFT that you buy. A lot of people just want to be able to be at the level of I want to come in, make this money and flip it and it should be okay. Some people are I want to come in, use this PFP to network and that should be okay. But there's no better in that regard in my eye. I think like D-Gens give us the energy we need, those flippers, but then like we kind of like founders fail them at the end,
yeah,
because they don't provide, they don't keep that that value sustained.
I love it. Okay, last two couple things on the agenda.
So I want to talk about universal assets dining, the ERC being conceptualized and moved forward.
Because that was my question. So
yeah. Cool.
What it essentially does, bridging generally speaking, or wrapping generally speaking, is you lock the original token. So it essentially cannot be used. It's in stasis. It is in escrow. And a new token is created that represents the old token. And the new token is used instead of the old token. And effectively, when you unwrap the token, you are destroying or disabling the new token so that the locked original token is no longer in escrow and can be used again. That's
okay,
what wrapping.
So like wrap weed, then. Okay, this is like weed that you're talking about. What is the stand? And I'm asking this earnestly, so I'm not trying to like be a snark because I'm not. Yeah. I don't do that. What's the standalone impact of wrapping in and of itself that provides any kind of like?
Let me show you the two features. The one is that you can join new marketplaces anytime. Because currently, if you want to join a new marketplace, it's very expensive. I guess we're calling them onboarding fees. So if you're on OpenSea right now, that means you already paid to authorize your tokens, and joining a new marketplace sucks less with universal asset signing.
Oh, that's crazy. I haven't even joined a marketplace in so long. I forgot about those fees, that initial onboarding thing. That's, yeah, you're 100% correct. It's crazy.
Number two, and this is crazy. Okay, number two is, if there's no fees to use a marketplace, that means that you can transfer stuff without owning any Ether. This is huge. If your account has no Ether, you're going to open it. It's like, oh, you have zero Ether. Welcome to Ethereum. You have no Ether. Would you like some Ether? And you'd be like, yeah. It's like, great. What's your social security number? What?
Okay. So you're saying that if someone, you don't need to have Ether in order to sell the token because you're listing it gaslessly anyway without a transaction fee.
Yes. That is how you onboard the next billion people. You don't make them go buy Ether. Ether should only be for people that want to deploy contracts or do nerd stuff. So you're going to send 100, they're going to get 99 and a half, which is better than using PayPal or anything. That is a huge use case that nobody has. We've been talking about for years. This gets it done. And it does it generally, we call it universally, for NFTs and value tokens at the same time.
I know with burning, you essentially, like, let's say you bought an NFT for half an ETH, you burn it and receive another one on the balance sheet, that shows up as you burning half an ETH. So you're at a half an ETH loss right there on your balance sheet. So that counteracts any gains you have otherwise. Does that same function apply to wrapping or no?
I love these concepts, and these, I'm going to classify these as loopholes right now. And I want to close these loopholes because they can also hurt you the other way. But yes, these are important things that you need to know and that I don't know. Well, I do know today, but I don't know where this thing's going to land. And this law, this regulation is probably going to land this year.
The assets on the chain, then you can create a placeholder, essentially, which is the wrapped NFT. And that placeholder now allows the placeholder to move around the ecosystem in whatever way it wants to. And then when it gets unwrapped, it can finally go into whatever hot seat it lands in as far as where that wrapped token went.
That's right. And I want to show you this one slide here. And this is the real beauty. This is the real future here. You've got Steve and Rito are on this slide, and they're transferring. Neither one of them is going to pay the gas. Someone else, Elif, is Elif on the call? Elif is actually in this slide. Elif shows up. And Elif closes the transaction. Elif pays the gas for this transaction to go through. Elif says, okay, I'm gonna take your cat picture, I'm gonna take your Terra, I'm gonna swap them, and I'm gonna take a little off the top. That is the final piece here. Oh, and PS, Elif can close as many of these deals as she wants in one transaction. Elif can show up and find 10 of these deals and close all of them with one Ethereum transaction. So Elif pays gas once, 10 people get their pictures of cats, 10 people sell their pictures, their Terra, all the deals go through, and only one transaction hits the blockchain.
So now, as a marketplace, what is my incentive to utilize this? Because you have to remember, I didn't build this because I give a fuck about my users. I built this because I want to make money.
That's right. Imagine you're not OpenSea. Imagine you're not Blur. Nobody's on your marketplace. Okay? Now you're having a party, and you've got a cover charge. So I was at Moulin Rouge. I was in Paris. I was at Moulin Rouge. And I was like, okay, I can wait in line for hours or I can go next door. There's a bar next to Moulin Rouge. That's actually where I went. And if I was at that bar and they're like, okay, yeah, cover charge is 200 euros. I'd be like, nah, I'm going to go to Moulin Rouge. But their cover charge, you want to guess what it was? It was zero. So instead of going to Moulin Rouge, OpenSea, I went to the place next to Moulin Rouge and I bought vodka and we drank a lot and we expensed it. So the reason why I went to the other party is they did not have a cover charge.
Now, but the question is Moulin Rouge, is the place next to Moulin Rouge have the same features, the girls, the dancers, and all the bullshit that Moulin Rouge has?
Nope.
It matter, the audience.
But it was good.
You're likely to get sales from that.
It was good enough. Sorry, and if basically, people are smart. All the people that are lined up from Moulin Rouge who got bored of waiting in line, they went here. So you're getting Moulin Rouge people that didn't want to wait in line. And the party was hopping.
I think this is going to be great for like, I mean, as for incumbent marketplaces, bro, they're not going to do this. I wouldn't even bother looking at these ones. Don't bother. But for anybody that's like, you know, building anything that's like feature rich, that are trying to create any impact in the space or anything like that, then this is going to be, this will totally take off for them.
Thank you. Yes, in the beginning. But as new tokens come out with this new feature, then eventually OpenSea is going to get locked down.
They're going to have to adapt.